But when it comes to MVP of each side of the ball, where do you guys stand on your offensive MVP? If obviously, you know, CMC, Brock Purdy, I mean, it's hard to think anything else, but, you know, where do you guys stand on at the end of the season, when we look back and we look at this offense, we go, man, it's because of this dude that this offense was the way that it was.
Yeah, I think either of Brock or CMC would be a very low-hanging fruit type of answer. So I'll give a different one here. I'm going to say Debo, because
nice.
I just think like he's primed to have a big year. The offseason that he's had, you know, looked to be like one of the best he's had since he's been in the league. And it looked like it translated, at least through training camp. And so I think it's going to carry into the season as well. And, you know, yeah, I talked about it already. He's not the best route runner, but he's the best at what he does do well. So I think the 49ers are going to find or continue to have that role for him in this offense. And I think he's going to have a big year.
Yeah, same. One podcast, one brain. I mean, it's got to be Debo Samuel, right? Like, I think the way that we were thinking before we heard about the restructure, that this was going to be a contract year. I also think that Debo hears a lot of the I can't run routes, or, you know, he can't run routes or anything like that. You know, again, no disrespect to, you know, George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk, but they've never carried the 49ers the way that Debo Samuel has. And a lot of people are lost on that, because he took that into his contract negotiations and things got, you know, ugly. But that might have been one of the most single greatest offensive seasons of any 49er ever.
Yeah.
And I think Debo has a lot on his mind. He came in, you know, very much, you know, in shape. I think he hears it all. And I think Debo is definitely someone who is motivated to not only quiet critics, but also put himself in a position where, whether he's on this roster this year or next year or someone else, he's going to ask for a pay increase. The only way you do that is that you hoop like you do in a contract year. So I think it has to be Debo Samuel.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to, you know, if we're not going to pick CMC or Brock, it's hard not to pick Debo. I mean, even Brandon Ayuk with a new contract, $30 million a year. You know, I think Ayuk can build upon last season. You know, I think for him, it's increasing those touchdowns. You know, he only had 7 last season, making himself a red zone target. I think there is a world where Brandon Ayuk, you know, gets up to 1400, 1500 yards, and 10 touchdowns. I think that'd be an incredible season for him. But if he gets there, I think, again, it's because either A, you know, Debo doesn't put up the numbers we think he could, or I don't know, something major happens where, you know, Ayuk becomes the focal point of the offense. But there's just so many mouths to feed that it's hard not to pick either the guy that gets them the ball or the guy that runs the ball, and that's CMC. And so I agree with you guys. I think Debo is probably number 3 if you're ranking most likely to be MVP. But yeah, it's hard to pick against him if you're not picking you know, Purdy or CMC. What about on the defensive side of the ball? You know, we talked a lot about the secondary. Obviously, the defensive line still has the highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL in Nick Bosa. We've got him on the show with us, sitting in there in the background as well, number 97. Who do you guys think, you know, if you're saying like this defense ends up being a top 10 unit, who do you think has the most, you know, most effect on that happening?
For one, I'll say your audio listener is going to be very confused when you said on the show, but I don't know. I feel like I almost have to say Bosa, but again, I don't want to go with the low hanging fruit. So if I had to give a different answer, I'm going to say Jair Brown. I mean, I think we were starting to see the trajectory for him in the playoffs last season. You know, he was improving each and every week. I think even in this year's preseason, we were seeing like he'd make a play and I'm like, get that guy out of there. I've seen enough, you know? So I think it's going to be like that during the season as well. I think he's just ready to take that next step. I think he's already a leader in that secondary as well, which is crazy to say because he's just a second year player, but he's going to look like a vet, I think, in year 2. So I'm going to say him.
if you're not going to take the sometimes the sweetest fruit is the lowest hanging. So yeah, it's Nick Bosa. Look, it's Nick Bosa. I think him coming out and talking about how he felt the contract negotiations leading up to week one, no training camp kind of affected him for a slow start. By the way, the most pressures that he's ever had in any season as a 49er. So not too bad. Didn't notch his first save. Got him in baseball mode. His first sack until week three. But I think he hears it all as well, too. And I think he's going to be somebody that they're going to look to. He's probably going to be named a captain. I think he's going to be somebody who puts up his 15 and a half, 16, 17 sacks. So I think it's definitely going to be Nick Bosa. And don't be surprised if Nick Bosa is the happy recipient of some cover sacks. So I think 100%, I think it's pretty easy to say Nick Bosa because he has to become a leader on his defense. The defensive line depth isn't what it used to be. Forget the contract. You're just one of the best edge rushers in football. And what do they do? Disrupt. And I think that's exactly what he's going to do all season.
So let me ask you this question then. 18 and a half is his high output for sacks in a season. Over under 18 this season?
Over.
Over. I like it. I like it. I like it. I think I'm going to go with a guy that we talked about is in a contract year. A guy who hasn't even engaged in extension negotiations because he wanted to bet on himself, and that's D'Amador Lenore. I think his inside-outside versatility, the fact that he will slide into nickel when they're in nickel defense, and I think they're going to be in nickel defense a lot. I think he's going to lead this team in interceptions, and I think he could also sneaky get in there with four or five sacks as well as a blitzing, as the blitzing nickel corner. And so I'm going to go with D'Amador Lenore just because, again, it is a contract year. He's trying to prove himself, and I genuinely believe that he's going to have a monster season. And I'm excited for it because, like I said, I think they're going to choose between one of those two, Lenore and Ward, and I think Lenore is the guy they want. It's the guy they drafted. He's younger. But again, I mean, they just restructured Debo. Who knows? Maybe they're going to throw money at both those guys. And, we're like, how the hell did they do this? And Prague's like, I just do what I do. And we move forward. So,
Brian, real quick, too.
Yeah.
My bad. Just about Nick Bosa. If Nick Bosa notches 15 sacks this year, he will become the third player since 1982 with at least 15 in three of his first six seasons, the only other two, J.J. Watt and Reggie White. Pretty good company. So I think he's definitely
shooting for at least that. Excellent company.